Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Bleav.
This is Bleav and Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network.
Scored a touchdown earlier on a direct snap. Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sonny Michelle will send the Dogs home to the championship game.
...53.5-yard drive near hash, kick right, snap, hold, kick is away, it's reaching, and it is good, 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 Hot Pod does it, all right, Hot Pod!
Wilcox with an up and out, wide open, touchdown, Israel Truth!
All right, welcome. It is the Bleav in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network, also coming to you from Brinks TV. Joining me to talk about it, we got an interesting show for you today. Joining me to talk about it is my newly clean-shaven co-host, Israel Troop. What's up, man?
What's up, brother? What's going on? Had a wedding last week. I had to clean up before, so... I mean, you know, you got to rock the baby face every once in a while.
I had to look good for them photos, right? No, I had to rock the baby face all the time, man. It's the only way to go. So glad to have you here, man. I want to make a quick announcement. You'll be joining me on Beast of the East from this point forward, you and Vinny. So that'll be good. We'll be right here on the Bleav Podcast Network, and then we'll be doing our thing over with Willis Digital Media, which is now the Y'all's Conference Network. So brand new deal going on there. So that's going to be interesting. Glad to have you there. So that should be.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. You know, it's always different when you talk about other schools, especially when you watch all the football that we watch, and it's going to be good to talk about other schools and things that they're doing. It's going to be great.
Well, we're going to do a little bit of that today because, let's face it, it's Charleston Southern week. So, I mean, there's not much to talk about there. It's going to be empty the bench type game. So, I don't even think Vegas would let you pick that game. So, and speaking of Vegas, we are presented by BetOnline.ag. Man, it's back and better than ever. It's got a new web interface. For the start of basketball season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. I didn't see who won that Frank Gore fight. I don't even know if it's happened yet, but BetOnline remains your number one spot for all basketball and football action this season. So head to the new and updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, or just use our promo code BELIEVE50 to receive your bonus. So for basketball and football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports. Bet online, it's where the game starts. Yeah. So, like I said, we're gonna broaden our horizons a little bit tonight because there's a lot of fun stuff to talk about within the SEC. It's going to be an interesting week. And in our picks, we can take a little bit more time to kind of give you our reasoning behind our picks. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But man, let's talk about that Georgia-Tennessee game. Let's recap a little bit from last week. If you're living under a rock, final score 41-17. So the 17 was a cosmetic touchdown there at the end where, you know, the game was well in hand. But, you know, some of the things that impressed me with Tennessee, I'll start with them. That first drive was very clinical. I think, you know, the tempo and things, I mean, that's what they do. They strike quick and they're decisive and they have some good concepts. Just barely missed a deep shot that would have put 7 on the board on the second play of the game. So I don't know what that would have done for the momentum, but I think it would have definitely been slightly different. I thought they got after Stetson a little bit. I was really impressed with Tennessee's secondary. A lot of the sacks they got on Stetson were coverage sacks, where there was nothing downfield. So overall, I think Tennessee's headed in the right direction. I think they're going to be really, really good. They're going to be a problem next year. And we talked about this on SEC After Dark, they're going to be a 7-5 team in a bowl game, and they're going to just absolutely obliterate whoever they get in the Meineke Car Care Bowl.
Man, the Tennessee Volunteers really, really impressed me. That first drive was absolutely beautiful. I was texting you back and forth. Mm-hmm. Also tweeted it. One thing about the so-called air raid offense is you don't have to throw the ball downfield to be an air raid offense. You can throw screens, which they did very well throughout the game, not just that first series, but, throughout the game, did a good job of throwing screens, which is when I text you and when I tweet, I said, well, we just play man and call it a day. We got safeties, 12 yards off and no apex player. Then what are you going to do? You're going to throw number two. Or if you got an off corner, no apex player, what are you going to do? You're going to throw number one, number two, box corner. I mean, it's real simple. I think Josh Heupel was doing some really simple things. What helps the new coach when he gets to a new school. They're doing things that the quarterback can do. He's getting the ball out of his hands. It's one read type deal. And they kind of made Georgia, look stupid on the first series. Let's just be real. They did. But at the same time, I said, watch this. Let's get out the first quarter and we'll figure it out. And we did. I think the tempo kind of surprised us a little bit. It was a little bit different from Georgia's tempo from the simple fact of when Georgia tempos, it's usually after a first down. When Tennessee tempos, it's because they tempo just because. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're not going to huddle. They're just going to line up. Exactly. I said, let's play base defense. Well, we played our base defense against them, which is very smart, which means we can stop the run. A little bit in base defense, but I think our safeties and our corners are a little bit too far off. At the beginning of that first drive, and then after a while, you start seeing them creeping up. Kendrick made an interception. Made some couple of key plays. Stopping the screens and things like that. So, I think Tennessee is heading in the right direction, and I think Tennessee is going to be really, really scary next year. I'm not even saying 2 years from now. I'm saying next year.
Next year, yes, and it's going to showcase in the bowl game. You're going to see that, and like I said, hats off to them. And you don't usually get to say that after a 41-17 beatdown, but knowing where Tennessee was prior to the season is nothing short of amazing. So, for Georgia, man, the adjustments to the tempo were outstanding. I mean, I thought we had a really good plan as far as getting out of the first quarter. And when we realized that, hey, we can't sit back on this stuff and play everything in front because they're just going to screen us to death. We just decided, hey, we're going to do what we do. We're going to get in your face. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to let our linebackers beat you. And that's what happened. We were able to get pressure with Nolan Smith, with N'Kobe Dean, Channing Tindall, those guys. And we were able to get in on the quarterback and, once we did that, we got him running around, got a few hits on him, rattled him a little bit, and was able to bottle up the run game. There was not a daggum thing they could do. They hit a few big plays, but it was mostly scattered, and it was it just wasn't good for them. Second quarter on, and then it didn't help offensively that James Cook was getting going. He was going off. Stetson was making plays, making big time throws, moving the sticks. Adonai Mitchell had a big game too. So I think you look at this Georgia unit. They really kind of came together and said, we got to make some plays for our quarterback. We got to make some plays defensively so that we can set up this offense and get them rolling. And rolling they did, man. Todd Monken, I've got to tip my cap to him. Again, just another masterful plan of attack. We knew they had a great secondary, so we're going to throw short. We're going to run the ball because we knew they had some depth issues up front, especially at the linebacking core. So why not let James Cook go off? And they did.
Mm-hmm. And they did a good job of, I'm a zone guy. I'm pretty sure you're a zone guy too. Just watching them just run zone is absolutely impressive. Yeah. The way that they come off the ball, the way that they get to the second level is absolutely beautiful. I think the third series, I believe. It looked like Stetson was pressing a little bit, you know, trying to force a couple throws there. But after that series, I mean, he was fine after that, you know. It was good to see James Cook finally get cooking, you know, and I mean that, all pun intended.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great pun. Yeah, he was great.
That young man had a great game. I think it was well overdue. I think it's great to do it against Tennessee. You know, there's always one player that always sticks out when you play Tennessee. Verron Haynes and the big Larry Munson.
Hobnail
boot game. You know.
Trey Flowers in 05.
Yep. Chris Conley, you know, with the one-handed grab at Tennessee. It's always games against Tennessee, and it's always in Neyland Stadium when a guy comes out and he does great things. So it was good to see James Cook get involved a little bit more than he has been. It was good to see him actually run the ball, you know, other than just coming out and catching the football. So I think Todd Monk is doing a great job. I think he does a great job of adjusting. I think he's done a great job of keeping Stetson comfortable. And that's one thing you got to do with a quarterback like Stetson. Can he get you beat? Yes, he can. But can you keep him comfortable to where, all right, let me calm my nerves and let me make a couple throws here, and now we can get it going. Now you add that with the run game, I mean, you're unstoppable.
Yeah. And going back to that whole quarterback debate, I hate to drum this back up, but I think there's some new avenues that we're seeing within this debate to why Stetson is the guy right now. And to me, it just seems like almost it's just a fit thing with us. Like, it's not that if you ask me, is JT Daniels a better quarterback? Yes, he is. But is Stetson Bennett the better quarterback for what we need? And that's becoming apparently yes. And I think that what he does fits what we need, because our offensive line isn't great because there's a lot of movement. We're not great in pass protection. We have Xavier Truss going down to guard. I mean, we got some guys playing that we got some combos of guys that haven't played together ever. So the communication's not there. So we don't need JT sitting back there as a statue. At some point we will need him and his abilities. That's not what I'm saying. But right now, Stetson's ability to move, run, and create things with his legs is exactly what this needs, right? It's the reason why we recruited Brock Vandegrift. It's the reason why we recruited Gunnar Stockton. Those guys are the five-star versions of Stetson.
Those are the guys that are the taller, a little bit more athletic guys that can run the football. Now, go back to your point of Stetson being able to run the football. Think about this. If Daniels is in the game, and let's say all our receivers are healthy, and they just decide to play man the whole entire game, kind of what Cincinnati did to us in the bowl game, kind of what Missouri did to us the first half of that bowl game. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do? He's not mobile. He can't use his legs. They shut down the run game. So who else is going to produce? The quarterback. Well, if the quarterback can't throw the ball, what else can he do? He can run the ball. And what does Stetson give you? It gives you the threat that the quarterback can run the football, which makes defense have to do what?
Respect the quarterback.
Now, if JT's back there, hell of high water, I'm sending blitzes. Guess what? Mm-hmm. They watched the Cincinnati game from last year. And if you watch Missouri, they did the exact same thing to us. So Stetson Bennett, like you said, gives us the best option to win right now. Like you said, right now. Mm-hmm. Now, could that change? You never know. Tua Tagovailoa got benched in halftime last year, a couple years ago, and Hurts came in and won the football game for him. I mean, it could happen. You never know what happened.
Yeah, I mean,
exactly. So as long as both are ready, they're helping each other, which you see on the sideline. There is no animosity between those two, so there is no need for media outlets to even remotely cause a problem between those two. So I love it. You know, I think when JT gets his turn, I think he's going to be ready. I think when the time comes to use JT, I think it's going to be a great time to use him. So as long as the mailman still delivering these packages and wins, I'm good.
Absolutely. At this point, I'm done with the quarterback debate. It's Stetson until it's not. Okay. He has got, I mean, I've always loved Stetson, but you know, I always knew he's kind of limited, but he ain't limited right now. He's making some good deep ball throws. He's moving the offense. He's getting things going. He's helping all these young guys, and he's just kind of that piece. And it just, it's weird that, you know, this is the guy. Like, I think it's, you know, if it wasn't Stetson, if it was some guy that was higher recruited coming out of high or higher rated coming out of high school, we probably wouldn't bat an eye. But since it's Stetson, two-star walk-on, former walk-on, mm-hmm. he's not a walk-on anymore, but former walk-on, then it makes everybody go, which it doesn't matter.
He's going to be a good head coach, offensive coordinator real soon.
Mm-hmm. He might even
take
over.
Within the next four or five years, he's going to be either a head coach in high school or a coordinator somewhere in college, and until he gets the job that he wants to in the college ranks. He's a smart player. He's a good player.
Wouldn't shock me.
You can't deny the things he's done.
Yeah, exactly. And it wouldn't shock me at all if he came up through Georgia's system. Kind of that Buster Faulkner route where you just kind of come up as an analyst and kind of learn and then take over. Like, he'll be like the unofficial quarterback. Like, Buster is the quarterback coach. Like, he works with the quarterbacks except for out of practice. Like, he does all of that except for out of practice. And so that's good. But like I said, James Cook, best game I've ever seen him have. The one thing I'll say is we need to figure out this offensive line situation. We need to figure out who's playing where. I'm not sure Xavier Truss is a guard. I mean, he played his ass off. Let's not get that twisted. But, you know, it's becoming apparent that we need some guards because we have some injuries and we have some guys that haven't really stepped into that role just yet. So we need some guards. We need to figure out that position. So I don't want that to be, you know, coming in Alabama, you're going to have to find a solution for Will Anderson and Henry To'oTo'o and their defensive front. You're going to have to find some things.
But luckily, there's only one player that you have to account for Anderson and To'oTo'o. Other than that, I haven't seen one person up front that remotely scares me other than anybody we've seen already.
Yeah, I mean, I think you take those two guys out and their front's just as good as any front we've seen all year. Arkansas has a really good front. Auburn had a really good front.
Kentucky has a really good front.
They get after it. Missouri had some good stuff.
Missouri had some good stuff going on too now.
That's going to be fun. But as we put a bow in this game, just another feather in the cap. I mean, you know, a lot of people, I know Tennessee's not ranked and I know they're not, you know, the prestige of Tennessee right now and strength of schedule stuff, but you know, Tennessee has the number one rated offense in the country, scoring offense in the country. And we held them to probably their season low, which ended up being our season high, which is kind of crazy. You do that and you score a whole bunch of points yet again. That's all we can do. You give us you run the gauntlet for the first time since 1982. You run the SEC gauntlet undefeated. That's impressive. I don't care who you are. Like, you play in this league, Israel, and you know probably more, even more than I do. You play in this league. It ain't easy.
Yeah, if you just come out with one loss, you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
One loss.
Yeah, because anybody can beat you any given day. I mean, look at Mississippi State. Look at what they did against Auburn. I mean, that was ridiculous. Like, I just laugh. Like, if you're going to put on a clinic on how to run the drop eight against the air raid, Derek Mason
showed
how not to do it. Because
that wasn't
it. Now with the way that's how people are starting to play Mike Leach. Mm-hmm. Guess what? He gets paid too, right?
Yeah, and it's backfired. So he's learning.
And they got scholarship players too, right?
Yeah. He's like a robot. He starts to learn everything that you're doing against to him and starts using it against you.
Yep. He figured it out. He's figured out how to, like, that's the whole basis of his style of air raid is sight adjustments and fine grass. That's screens, it. That's what it is.
Screens, screens, screens,
screens. Screens, mesh, comebacks, the Y cross, the four verts. I mean, it's very simple concept wise, but where it differs is the side adjustments inside of the concepts, within the concepts. Mm-hmm. And they do a phenomenal job as young as they are. They're doing a phenomenal job right now of getting better each and every week, and you're seeing it.
Quarterback has one read. He has to read one person.
Mm-hmm. And really, he's just reading an area. Really, he's just reading an area, honestly. Whatever the concept is, he's like, okay, this is your area. And I think it's broken up into like quadrants, or not quadrants, but zones within the mm-hmm. Like they have their own system there where it's like, okay, you've got the green zone right here, which is, you know, could be whatever. But so very impressive on their part. That game, that was a game I couldn't keep my eyes off of in the early slate. You know,
we were watching it during the wedding and we were yelling at the TV during right before we went out for the ceremony.
Like, no, like
exactly.
Or if you were rooting for Mississippi State, which I was.
Yes. yes.
God, just to see Mike Leach dance, that was worth its weight in gold there. So I loved it, man.
I gotta go blow my nose real quick. Grab me right back.
I will go on a monologue. Yes. Yeah, so again, one of the biggest collapses for Auburn. You know, 28-6. There seems to be something with that 28-6. It's as Israel takes a break here. That game just impressed me. I mean, Mississippi State continues to surprise me each and every week. I mean, I keep picking against them, and they just keep surprising me. They just keep going against the grain. So, hats off to the Bulldogs there. Arkansas, who's got a really, really big game. We'll talk about them here in a little bit. But Arkansas has got a big game against Alabama, and Arkansas is coming off a very emotional win in a very emotional rivalry, which, as much trash as we can talk about LSU, those players have really bought into these rivalries. Doesn't matter who's coaching, but these players have really, really, really bought into these rivalries. Like the battle for the boot, that's big time. Like those two teams do not like each other. LSU with Alabama, like those players understand that's a huge rivalry. So to see that game being so tight is not a surprise, Israel. You know, talking about Arkansas now, moving on to Arkansas, kind of recapping last week because there was some interesting stuff that happened, like Arkansas winning in overtime in with a game-winning field goal. As much trash as we've been talking about LSU, it's that game will always be a tough game, no matter how bad Arkansas is struggling, no matter how bad LSU is struggling. That's always going to be a tough game.
You know, you got to understand something, which is really surprising me. LSU is still playing hard defensively. I think they got some wrinkles offensively that they need to fix, which be obviously fixed under the new head coach. But they're still playing hard.
They're playing hard for each other.
Exactly. The fact that they came out and did a really good job against a really good offense that Arkansas has, a very physical defense that Arkansas has, to move the ball in the way they did, you know, just shows you what Coach O does. They love him, you know, and we can talk as much banter we want to with Coach O, but they love him. You know, those players are still playing hard for him. So, and that's kudos to him for keeping that ship afloat right now, you know, especially with everything going on.
Interim O with nothing to lose is a dangerous, dangerous thing. So, and they're talented, man. It doesn't matter. And like I said before, you got back. They're still LSU. I mean, that freshman group is going to be they're going to be hell, man. And when Lincoln Riley comes in, he's not going to have a bare cupboard.
Lincoln Riley. I heard about that name today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mel Tucker was the front runner. Michigan State said, no, cuz
we're gonna give you 9.5. We're gonna
keep you here, my boy. Yeah, so,
which is great. I love that.
Which makes you wonder what's going on in Oklahoma if Lincoln Riley's thinking about leaving.
I tell you what's going on in Oklahoma, they're soft. soft as hell.
That's true.
And he wants to get in the SEC early, but this will be where I'm either sold or not sold on Lincoln Riley. If he comes to LSU and wins immediately, I'll be sold on Lincoln Riley. And if he doesn't, then I'll be like, okay, well, maybe he just had the beneficiary of playing in the Big 12. So
one thing about LSU, if they got a really good offense, they win, and they win big, because the defense is going to play ball no matter what.
Yeah, that's one thing about it. There. Yeah.
So if they can put up points, which we all know Lincoln Riley can put up points, they can't stop anybody, but he can put up some points.
Mm-hmm.
Then you add that with LSU's defense. I mean, we're looking at another, 2019 type season?
Yeah.
You never know. Go.
Can we take a minute to laugh at Dan Mullen, by the way?
No, geez. I know this is not our SEC talk, but Samford. I don't know what they did or.
Well, Samford runs the hatch attack, but
they couldn't stop it, which this is the sad part. And this is what I told my buddies are huge Florida fans, right? And this is what I was telling them. I said, y'all are so mad at Grantham. Y'all been so mad at Grantham forever. Forever y'all been mad at Grantham. Y'all couldn't even stop Samford. And he ain't even there.
Yeah, that's bad. So, it ain't a Grantham problem. I mean, Grantham has his own bag of problems. Grantham has his own bag of problems. Don't get me wrong. With how he manages and teaches and things like that, where he probably tries to do a little too much and they get a little bit over their skis. But it's a Mullen thing. It's a culture thing. You can see it.
They don't like Dan Mullen.
He's a weirdo.
I can see it. They don't like Dan Mullen.
He's a weirdo. He's just a weird guy. And yeah. I don't get him. I don't get
Coach Rick's wife never kissed me, so
that's good.
That goes to show you a lot.
She did serve you water, though.
She did. She was the best water girl I've ever seen in my whole entire life.
She absolutely was. She never
put her lips on me, which is still weird to this day.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, she grabs him double hand by the face and pulls him in. Yeah. It was like, wow, okay, this is odd. This ain't normal. So yeah,
they were getting beat bad.
Yeah. And they had to use the fact that they're Samford and they don't have the depth that Florida has that they lost. But I was so hoping they would lose. Because it's not like Samford is like the favorites to win the FCS championship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they were playing
they're actually not very good this year.
It's not like they were playing James Madison. They're never really good. They're always decent. They're always like middle of the pack.
Sneaky.
They're sneaky. They can screw up your season, but
yes, that's it.
Like on the legal motion, the fourth podcast I do, I know I'm on like every podcast, but we actually, and this is going to be the nerdiest thing I say. We actually cover FCS football. We actually talk FCS football. So
I like FCS football.
Yeah. But like I have a podcast about it. Like it's kind of, I don't know. It seems kind of.
I mean, love it.
Joe DeLeon. Shout out to Joe DeLeon. But he was an FCS player, so he's got a like. For me, I have no vested interest in FCS football. Joe DeLeon does. So he does his FCS podcast, which is great. If you haven't listened to it, early in the existence of this podcast, we had Joe on because he also does a draft podcast. So shout out to you, Joe. You're the man. I was watching that game. Like they're middle of the pack. They got a losing record in their conference. This is just hilarious. And that team is totally. And I hope they don't fire Dan Mullen because just I don't know, because it's Florida and I want to see him squirm a little bit.
If he loses to Florida State, which we all saw what happened with Miami, they're about to fire.
If he loses Manny to Missouri, Diaz. He's going to lose to Missouri.
If he loses one of these next two, he's going to get fired.
Yeah. It's almost like he's trying to get fired.
I don't know. I don't feel like it, but it looks like it.
It does. It does. Well,
there's no way I would try to get fired. I'm making millions of dollars. There's no way I'm trying to. You're going to have to fire me, like, legitimately.
He's trying to
coach my butt off.
He's trying to get that buyout and just, he's burnt out, looks like. He's done with Florida. So, but real quick, it's Charleston Southern. So it's not like we need to like spend a lot of time on this. Like, you know, we can't break down Charleston Southern, but just want to see, you know, just want to see some guys get some good reps and things like that. Like, real quick, is there anything you want to see in particular?
I just want to see us stay sharp. You know, it's really simple to look, you know, past this game and obviously the game against those guys down the street, you know, before you get to the championship game. But right now, you know, you just want to stay sharp. So whether it's, you know, you beat them, you know, handily, or, you know, you struggle a little bit, you want to see where your deficiencies are, really. If there is any, you know, hopefully there's not. You want to see some guys who you're going to have to count on, you know, through this playoff run. You know, it's a great thing because, you know, through the grapevine and through everything that's been tweeted and everything lately, you know, George Pickens is back. Not going full speed yet, but he's getting some scout team reps, which is more important than anything. He's getting hit. You know, he's taking a little bit of contact here and there, you know, to get him ready. So, you know, get some guys healthy. Carlos Jackson's coming in and making a splash.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
That's
so, you know, get to see your other quarterback, see what the future lies. And it gives you a way where he does have one more year. You know, he could come back if you wanted to. So,
yeah.
You never know.
I just saw the Atlanta Falcons.
And no injuries. Don't be dumb.
Yeah, definitely don't be dumb. Stay injury free. Play a clean game. Get in, get out, and let's roll on to next week. Off topic a little bit. I just saw the Falcons do a safety blitz from about 16 yards, 20 yards deep.
Did he make it?
No, didn't make it. Did not make it because they're trying to blitz Mac Jones. Like, it's kind of hard to hide a 16-yard blitz. So,
I got it like right here on my TV, and it's like their offensive line struggling.
Oh, big time! It's been a struggle.
It's struggling bad
because Dimitroff for some reason can't evaluate offensive linemen. I don't understand it. So, But let's get into our picks. All right. That big clock that's yelling at us, staring us down is actually ticking. So let's get into our picks a little bit. You know, New Mexico State, Kentucky, 36 points. Can we cover that? Can Kentucky cover that?
Ooh. You said New Mexico State, Kentucky?
Yeah. 36 points.
36?
Yeah.
No, I don't
think so. No, they can't cover that. They can't.
They're gonna turn the ball over.
Oh, I'm saying New Mexico State is not gonna cover that.
Oh, no, they're not. No,
like New Mexico State, they couldn't cover a 52 point spread.
Struggle. And you know, Kentucky's going to look to beat on somebody for a little while here too. So,
yeah, they need it. They missed their opportunity with Vandy. So, Arkansas, Alabama. Alabama is 20.5 point favorites. Let's call it 21. Three touchdown favorites at home against the Razorbacks. To me, Alabama has something to prove. They have an axe to grind. They do not. Under any circumstance, but they've had a terrible week of practice, but they do not under any circumstance want to take the chance at losing the SEC West into Auburn next week. So they're going to go ahead and try to clinch this thing this week. I think they cover because of that fact. Israel, how do you see it?
Do they have a terrible week of practice, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they ain't going to cover that.
For Saban's sake. You know, I mean, just one drop pass can be a terrible practice
for
him.
He don't sugarcoat nothing this year now. He is, I think his players have got complacent for the first time in his career, and he doesn't like that. So if they're having a bad week of practice, they're having a bad week of practice. So I'm taking Arkansas on this one.
at least covering. So Florida at Missouri, Florida 8.5-point favorites on the road in Columbia. This game's interesting. Mizzou is playing a lot better.
Take Missouri.
Oh, damn, that was quick. Because I agree with you. But yeah, that was quick.
Taking wow. Missouri.
There. Damn. Before I can finish the sentence. I love it, man. I love your decisiveness on that.
Taking Missouri.
Didn't even have to think about that one. I'm taking Missouri. Screw it. All right. Auburn, 7.5.
I can't watch it again. It was terrible. Ooh, I'm so bad.
Yeah, that was terrible. That was not pretty. Speaking of not pretty, this is the not pretty bowl. TJ Finley and the Auburn Tigers are 7.5-point favorites at Columbia, South Carolina. The Gamecocks. Can South Carolina win and or cover? Or do you think Auburn has bounced back?
I think they cover. I think Mississippi State took it away from this. I think, I'm taking South Carolina just simply because Mississippi State showed that Auburn ain't very good.
Yeah. Probably taking Tennessee to cover 28 on South Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm taking that one.
Gotcha. All righty. Vanderbilt. Actually, Ole Miss is playing a FCS school here in Vanderbilt. Oh, wait. No, that's a typo. They're playing Vanderbilt.
You got me.
I know. Vanderbilt's disguised as an FCS team with this spread. 36.5 for Ole Miss.
Ooh.
I think they can do it, but it's going to be tricky.
I'm taking Vandy to at least cover here simply because I watched Liberty game, obviously, and Vandy, in my opinion, is a little bit better than Liberty defensively. So I gotta go with Vandy to at least cover here.
Yeah.
I feel like they should have beat Texas A&M by a whole lot more than they did last week too.
Yeah. Texas A&M has a really, really good – they did really good in the red zone at limiting their opportunities. So, A&M has a good red zone defense. All right, Louisiana Monroe at LSU. LSU's 29-point favorites.
Taking Louisiana Monroe.
There you go.
To cover.
Yeah.
Simply because offense is not very good.
Yeah, I'm taking LSU because why not? At this point, it's a coin flip, honestly. So land on heads. What do you want? All right. That's our conference selections. That's our conference slate. Obviously Georgia and Charleston Southern doesn't have a line. Wake Forest traveling to Clemson. This game is really intriguing. Clemson's 4.5-point favorites at home. Wake, obviously we know about Wake. Explosive offense versus a great defense and a bend and break often defense versus a extremely poor struggling offense.
I think I'm going to go with Wake on this one. Simply for the fact that I think Wake's going to make a couple more offensive plays than Clemson during the stretch of the game, which we've seen Big Ocho Cinco cannot. Well, Big Cinco. He struggles, when pressure's at him. I think Wake can do a good job pressuring him. I think they learned from the North Carolina game. So I think they come out with a different game plan against Clemson, and they make one or two more plays to seal the deal for them and to win. They're in the Coastal, right?
I don't know. You might as well call it Leaders and Legends. And so I don't like the whole Atlantic and Coastal, and I can't keep up. I cannot keep up. It's terrible. It's terrible. But yeah, Wake was, they learned their lesson, but they were on the correct end of a very similarly played out game with NC State a week ago, where both teams just basically traded turnovers. I think there were 6 total turnovers in that game. It was kind of ugly, actually. I like Wake, though. I mean, I just think they're too explosive. And one of the things I really like about Wake is their offense is explosive to the point where it puts a lot of pressure on the opponent. And where it puts the pressure on the opponent is the fact that now there's this like amped up pressure to score with Wake at the clip that Wake is scoring at, which makes the opposing offenses prone to mistakes.
Exactly.
So Clemson makes plenty of those, and you give Wake a short field, things can slip away from you a little bit. I see Wake winning this, and it's only 4.5. So, even if Clemson has a good defensive game, I can still see Wake winning this thing like 17-10. So.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Like I said, they're going to make one or two more plays toward the end of the game to seal the deal.
Yeah, and if it gets in a shootout, it's Wake all the way. Iowa State travels to the Sharman Stadium to take on Oklahoma, 3.5-point favorites. I'm kidding. Not really. Oklahoma, like I said, until they prove me wrong, they are soft. I'm taking Iowa State, Israel. They're more physical. Breece Hall, I think, is going to have a tremendous game. Brock Purdy, I think, is going to do well. I think teams have figured out now that Caleb Williams doesn't have a lot of experience, and the game has not slowed down for him yet. So they're going to come after him, Israel. It's happening.
I don't know. Coach Campbell kind of discouraged me a little bit from the simple fact that he said that his goal wasn't to win the Big 12. I think if you're a head coach in any conference, your goal is to win the conference championship.
When did he say that? Last week?
Last week.
Well, I mean, they can't win the Big 12.
Well, no. I'm talking about he might have went just last week, but to me, your goal should always be to win the Big 12. That's kind of how I took it, just because I'm a competitor. But I do think that Iowa State is more physical than Oklahoma. I think they win by 3 in this game. It's going to be a field goal game.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you never want to hear your coach say that, but I mean, they really can't win it this year. So maybe.
See, that's me. As a player, you never want to hear your coach be like, oh, I don't worry about winning. Like, no. We still want to, like, even if there's no chance in hell we're going to win it, like, don't say it in the paper and let me read it.
Yeah. Whereas, like, I kind of get, I think, where he was coming from or what he was trying to say didn't come out that way. But I think he was trying to say, yeah, we're not really worried about winning the Big 12 right now because, A, it's out of reach. We just want to beat Oklahoma. So, I don't know. I'm hoping that's what that was.
I hope so, because it didn't sound good.
No, it didn't. It really didn't. Didn't sound good. Michigan State at Ohio State, coming to the Shoe. Tough matchup for Mel Tucker. Ohio State's 19-point favorites. But what Ohio State does really, really well, Michigan State does not do really, really well.
That's defending the forward pass.
That's defending the downfield pass, the forward pass. Ohio State does a great job at executing the forward pass. Michigan State has had struggles stopping it. And this is not an indictment on Michigan State. They're just not there yet in a lot of aspects of their program. Like, the fact that we're talking about Michigan State as a possible playoff team is like light years ahead of where we thought they were going to be. I don't want to say downright pitiful last year, but they were like one notch above that.
They were struggling.
Coaching change, COVID, all that good stuff. But Mel Tucker, man, they're going to play hard. Kenneth Walker.
They're going to play hard.
Kenneth Walker is special.
They're going to do a lot of things great. He can tote that thing, Katie.
Oh, he can tote it, man. He totes it well. And I'm impressed.
I really think that I think Michigan State has a really good chance to win this football game. And here's why. I think since they know Mel Tucker's not leaving, even though he hadn't given the thumbs up that I'm not going anywhere, but when they're throwing like $9.5 million at you, I mean, it's kind of tough to go anywhere.
And he's a Midwestern guy, so why would he leave?
Yeah.
At
the same time, you're playing against a really good dynamic Ohio State offense. Defensively, they struggle.
Yeah.
They struggle stopping the run, which is in Michigan State's favor. Mm-hmm. I think if Michigan State can control this game, control the pace of the game, and make Ohio State do what they want them to do, I think Michigan State pulls off the upset like they did. Was it 2014? Had to be, yeah. Had to be, yeah. 2014.
Because 14 was the year Michigan State. Back. Yeah, when they won 14 Ohio State won the national championship. So didn't they? But they lost to Michigan State, right?
They lost to Michigan State. Anyways, the one where it was a field goal or something, and they picked it up because Buddy broke his hip when he scored the touchdown. It was that game. It's crazy how this works. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with Michigan State on this one.
Okay, so yeah, I took Ohio State because I just took the more explosive downfield attack, and I just think that this game I could see Michigan State being competitive the whole way, and it's just one of those games that slips away late where it's like all of a sudden they're down by 20 and you're trying to figure out how they got there.
Yeah.
And it's one of those games
where you're
like,
quick.
It's one of those games where you're like, damn, they were just in it.
12 o'clock game. Everybody's all excited. Everybody's at the shoe. So that's really my game of the week this week. I'm really excited to watch that one.
I
can't wait to watch that one. That's the one tuned in this week.
And a possible preview for the Pac-12 championship: Oregon traveling to Utah to take on the Utes. The Utes are 3-point favorites at home. Oregon obviously is higher ranked. This Oregon team is weird. Why are they weird? Mm-hmm. Because they play in a weird conference where, like, on one hand, like, Arizona might be one of the worst Power Five teams ever, save Vandy. They go out and, you know, they go up and beat, I think, who'd they beat? Cal? I think they beat Cal. Cal,
I think it was Cal, yeah.
Cal dominated defensively last year in the Pac-12. Now they look downright pitiful. You know, Oregon mm-hmm. loses to Stanford, who gets the breaks beaten off them by Utah. USC is completely falling apart. UCLA is the wheels have fallen off there. Washington State and Washington are both, you know, what they are.
Looking
for head coaches. Now. Washington State was a national joke, but their interim guy's doing pretty good, so I can't hammer mm-hmm. them too bad. But the Washington thing was just flat out embarrassment from day one. So it's a weird conference, but I think Oregon's going to pull this one out because I really like Mario Cristobal. I really like the team that he's put together. It's probably the closest thing to an SEC team you're going to get out there on the West Coast. Just mm-hmm. by the way, he's organized it. Joe Moorhead, the one game they lost, he was not there. I think he was, I forget exactly what it was, but something with
he had COVID
or something like that. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't there and they lost, but they're explosive. I really like watching their brand of football. Kayvon Thibodeau is going to be a special dude on Sundays here real soon. So yes, I'm taking all that to say I'm taking the Ducks.
Not so fast, my friend. Yeah, I think in recent history, what's one team that has ruined Oregon's national title hopes almost every single year?
Oregon State? No. Probably Utah.
Utah. The year Marcus Mariota was there, they lost to Utah, almost ruined their national championship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the Utes in this one simply because for some reason, Utah will lose every single game in the Pac-12 and end up beating Oregon to full their Pac-12 championship, you know, appearance.
Wow.
So it's something about Utah that Oregon just can't get over.
Wow.
So okay. I got to go with Utah on this one.
All right. Well, we got two more games here. Baylor at Kansas State.
Baylor.
Yeah, Baylor. I mean, I think Chris Klieman is doing a really, really good job at Kansas State, but Baylor's playing really, really well right now. They're you know, Gary Bohannon is mm-hmm. is something special, but you know,
for them to come back the way they did last week, for them to keep their composure, you know, against a really, actually, you know, Oklahoma's not bad. They're a really good football team, but to do the things that they were able to do and come back, I think was really good. So it shows a lot you know, what's going on in that Baylor program, which Mr. Dave is also on the chopping block because he is in the front runner. He's now one of the front runners for the LSU job.
And he should be. He's done a phenomenal job of building that culture, and he's done it very, very quietly. So, yeah, I like the way they play. And, yes, of course, Oklahoma's a good football team. I have to be hard on them because they should be not so soft. But a game that's going to be really exciting to preview next week is Oklahoma State. Bedlam, obviously, next week. But Oklahoma State travels into Lubbock, 10-point favorites over Tech. To me, this is easy. I'm taking Oklahoma State.
I don't know.
I know you're kind of hesitant, but Oklahoma State's hungry, man. I know Texas Tech is bowling a little bit. They're going bowling, but I think Oklahoma State has a depth thing here. I think they're more explosive defensively. They get after you a little bit. I think Texas Tech, you know, obviously they have an interim coach for a reason, because Matt Wells did a terrible job of building that roster, and they're playing way above their heads right now. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
They're playing some awesome, inspired football. You're exactly correct.
And I absolutely love it. But in a game like this, I have a hard time believing it's going to help them.
I do too. The coach in me wants to take Texas Tech. It really does.
Yes.
My common sense is like, no, you know, to go with the Cowboys. I think, like you said, I think Oklahoma State's playing some inspired football, but I think they're playing this football because they know Oklahoma loses one more, they're in the game.
They see Bedlam. Bedlam is basically the Big 12 title. You win Bedlam,
so
you're Big 12 champs. Like that's
what I think. They got a lot on the line. They got a lot on the line. So I don't think that they're going to let anybody come in between them.
They're extremely focused. So okay, well. My man, that's going to do it for this episode. We've made some really, really good selections. A quick programming note. We'll give you a short preview next week. It's Thanksgiving. I'll be in a food coma on Thursday. I don't know about you, but you'll probably kill your entire meal and cook it yourself. That's probably what you do, right?
That's probably going to happen Monday morning. I'll be up there. Bright. The full moon kind of threw me off today. It's still kind of light outside. So they'll be moving next week. That cold front that y'all are getting right now is actually coming here right now. So, it'll be some good hunting this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be 28 degrees in the morning here. So that's going to be nice.
Oh, no.
You want that?
No power room. It's going to be 50 here.
Yeah.
No.
Come on, Israel. Our high is 50. Yeah. It was 71 yesterday, though. It's ridiculous. It was 71 degrees yesterday. Now
talk about global warming.
I know, right? So make sure you subscribe, comment, follow us on social media. Follow Israel, man. He's great on social media, man. He is. If you follow him, you will not be sorry. But ADD is getting the best of me. My ADD is blazing right now. But a quick programming note, we will give you a quick Georgia Tech preview next week. So stay tuned for that. We'll preview the Jackets and kind of tell you what to expect in that game. And we will deliver our picks on social media, via social media. So you will see Israel make his picks. I'll make mine. We'll flash them up on Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff to see how we fare. We're going to do it a little bit differently for our show next week. So, and then we'll get ready. We'll be all full steam ahead for the SEC championship. See, I'm still frozen. We had a middle school championship game that we hosted at our place. And I actually was the announcer. I've never announced football because I've always been coaching it, but I've never announced football as like the PA guy.
You have the voice to do it.
Yes, apparently I do. So I was, I'm still frozen on the inside. I'm still thawing
out.
Okay. It's so cold. It's like 33 degrees right now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, the temperature is slowly dropping here as well.
It did not slowly drop here. It was, I mean, it was like, we started out at like 54 and it was raining all morning. And then all of a sudden at like three o'clock, it drops down into the 40s and then the sun goes down.
It's the rain that gets you.
Oh my God.
And then the sun goes down. Like you said, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's brutal. So, but like I said, our stuff is scrolling on the bottom. Subscribe, comment to our YouTube channel. We got quite a bit of views. We've been echoing across some other channels, and we've got quite a bit of views there. So, but we are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network and on Brinks TV, also presented by betonline.ag. We hope you have a great week and an even better weekend, and we'll see you back here next week. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.